Yes.
Beautiful. All right. Did all of you watch the video I asked you to watch before today's class on the elements in the periodic table?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. You watch the video? Right, good job. And then I think I got a yes from everyone. So today's class, we're going to, I had you guys watch that video because we're continuing our conversation about melanin, but we're going to move from looking at like its function in our body to its actual structure. So in order for me to have a conversation with you about the structure of melanin, I needed to make sure that you had a general understanding of the structure of the periodic table and like the information that we know about elements from the periodic table and how that works. So we're going to spend a little bit of time today looking at the structure of two forms of melanin, the eumelanin and the pheomelanin, and then we're going to have a conversation about the elements that are in those molecules. All right. So if you haven't already, oh, go to the class wiki page so that you guys can look at the resources that are there for today's class. So I'll give you like a minute to do that if you haven't already.
Okay, I have a question though, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
When are we gonna get like the, do we ever did you were you able to send out the results for the test?
Oh yeah, there was a issue with updating that, but I should be able to straighten that out by this afternoon. Thank you for saying that because I meant to send you guys an email and forgot. So yes, that information you should be able to have your scores this afternoon.
All right, thanks.
All right, so has everybody been able to open up the wiki page with the table with our day-to-day class agendas?
Yes, I'm there.
Yes.
You there, Ja and Eshubola?
Yes.
All right, good. All right, so the first thing that I'm gonna have you do, and we're not gonna spend a lot of time on it, but I want you to take a look at the links for the eumelanin and the pheomelanin structure. So if you could just take a second and open those and look at what the chemical structure of eumelanin and pheomelanin is.
Okay.
All right, cool. So, Kashif, have you had a chance to look at the pictures real quick?
Yes.
All right. So, there's only a few elements listed on both of the structures. What's one of the elements that you see on both structures? Just take a second and look. One of the letters that you see on both are structures. You see O? All right. Essence, what's another one that shows up on both structures?
H.
So we've got O and we've got H. Eshugbola, do you know what O stands for? I know most of you all know what H stands for. That's why I asked about O. You take a guess of which oxygen. Cool. Cool. It's oxygen. All right, so there's oxygen on both of them. And then go ahead and tell me what that H was. All right, so there's oxygen and hydrogen on both of them. All right, so in Dae, beyond the similar letter symbols that you see for the chemicals that are in eumelanin and pheomelanin, what's something else that you see similar about both of the two compounds?
I don't know.
Take a second and look at both of them and tell me something similar about them other than the fact that they both got hydrogen and oxygen. You can't be wrong. Anything that you say is similar is all I'm looking for. No chance of a wrong answer.
Okay, what does that N stand for?
You said what does the N stand for?
Yeah.
Okay, the N stands for nitrogen.
Okay. Well, two that both of them have the nitrogen in them.
Okay, cool. So we've got nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen they have in common. Ja, what's another similarity that you see between those two structures?
1 second, the page is timed out.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Okay, we're looking at pheomelanin, right?
Yeah, the pheomelanin and the eumelanin. I want you to look and see anything that you notice that they have in common.
The shapes are connected.
You said what are connected?
Like, I know they're not like shapes in general, but like, I forget the scientific terms for them.
Okay, so you said there's a similarity to how they're shaped?
Yes, and how they're connected.
Okay, cool. What's another similarity you see, Ja?
I guess they just have similar chemical compounds.
Okay, so they've got similar chemical compounds. Cool. Hold on a second. Eshugbola, where do you see an S? I see you said they both have the OHs, and N and S are in the same pentagon group. Oh, and pheomelanin. Okay, I see what you're saying. All right, Essence. Really quickly, look at both of them and tell me something that's different about them.
On feed melanin, I see that it says, I think it said like H2N or something, and then on this, on U melanin, it doesn't. It only has N and H.
Okay, cool. So pheomelanin's got something extra that eumelanin doesn't, the H2N. In diet, what's another difference?
To me, they're shaped very different. Like, one kind of branches off into different sections, and the other one is kind of like, it's in the same direction.
All right, so is pheomelanin the one that branches off in different directions to you?
Yes.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying. So it's kind of got, it's kind of longer, and it's got a bunch more other stuff going on. All right, so is there any other differences that anybody else noted that you want to share real quick? I will take that as a no. So I had you guys look at explicitly the similarities and differences, because one of the places that we're going to go in our conversation about melanin is looking at compounds that in literature people have compared to melanin. So, you know, there has been conversation about its similarity to chlorophyll, because melanin kind of processes energy in the body, like solar energy, and then produces, you know, internal energy with it, and then chlorophyll does the same thing. There has been some research and talk and conversation about the similarities in structure between melanin and certain drug compounds, looking at, is there a scientific connection to people having, who have an increased or decreased amount of melanin, having a stronger addiction to certain compounds. But I want you guys, when you look at some of those questions critically, to have a basic understanding of the differences and how different a structure can look that's really, really similar in properties, and then vice versa, how something with really similar looks can have really, really different properties. Because some of the people that are having these conversations don't have an understanding of the chemistry, and they're kind of just looking at things they don't understand and making assumptions and statements about it. So I want you guys, when before I have you have these conversations, have a kind of basic understanding of what it, what you're looking at, so they're not just random letters and shapes. Okay, any questions or comments before we go on? Okay, so I want to take a second and talk a little bit about that video that you guys looked at. So it went through kind of like a, and you heard her mention a couple of times, the difference between the chemistry you need to know for like a bio class and the chemistry that you need to know for a chemistry class. So it was kind of a quick overview of the early concept of chemistry to be able to use it in other situations like a biology class or other contexts. And it went through the structure of the atom, and it went through kind of the periodic table and some of the patterns that you see there. So really quickly, Eshubola, so from your experience in life, watching that video, classes that come before, tell me what you know about an atom. Like, what are atoms made out of? No, that was perfect. That was perfect. Okay. So he said that there was electrons, neutrons, and something else in atoms. Does anybody know what that something else is called?
Protons.
Protons.
That's what I'm looking for, protons. So atoms have electrons, neutrons, and protons. And as Eshubola said, the electrons are on the outside. So if the protons and neutrons are inside the nucleus, electrons are on the outside, kashif. When two atoms interact, what parts are going to be touching each other?
Hold on. Later question. Can you repeat the question?
You know what? I apologize. I forgot that I had put it on push to talk. So if protons and neutrons are inside the nucleus and electrons are around the outside, if you've got two atoms that touch each other, like what part of the atoms are touching?
I really don't know. It's in my head, but it's not registering.
All right, Ja, the same question. If you've got protons and neutrons that are in the nucleus, electrons on the outside, when two atoms are touching each other, what part is touching?
The electrons.
The electrons, because they're on the outside. So make sure you remember that, Kashif, because I'm going to come back to you later with a question related to it. So when atoms are interacting with each other to make compounds, it's their electrons that are touching. So as Eshu Bola mentioned earlier, electrons are extremely important because all of the stuff that happens between atoms happen because of their electrons. So in the video, she talked a little bit about the structure of elements and the patterns related to that on the periodic table. So if you could go back to the wiki page and click on the link for the Lewis structure table. And I'll give you like 30 seconds to do that, because what I'm going to talk about next, I want you looking at the Lewis structure table. All right, so before I start talking, is there anybody that's not looking at the picture yet?
No.
Is that no, you're there, or no, you're not looking at the picture yet?
I'm there.
All right, cool. All right, so when you're looking at the periodic table, these things called Lewis structures are the symbol for the element with a dot on the outside to represent how many electrons are on the outside. So as you can see, the way the periodic table is structured, there's a pattern to it. So all the elements that have got one electron on the outside are in the first group. All the elements that have two electrons on the outside are in the second group. We kind of ignore that middle transition metal group. And later on in the year, when we get heavier into chemistry, I will talk about that a little more. But then as you continue across, you see like there's a pattern 3, 4, all the way up to 8. Now, Eshu Bola mentioned that the happiness of atoms is based on how many electrons it has on the outside. So those very last group that starts with helium, HE at the top, all of those elements we call noble gases, right? So noble gases, let's take a step back. If this was a history class and we were talking about the nobility essence, what kind of people would we be talking about? Like, what are some of the characteristics of the nobility class if we're talking, you know, about, say, history? You get my question?
Yeah.
All right, so essence. If this was a history class and we were talking about the nobility, like the noble class, what kind of characteristics would the people have who are considered nobility essence?
I'm going to tell you how.
Are you there, Essence?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm thinking.
Okay, kiddo. So another way to ask for me to ask the question is, what's the difference when you're talking about societies in a history class? What's the difference between the nobility and the regular everyday people?
I don't know.
All right, so does anyone want to jump in and share with us what they think the difference is when we're talking about the nobles or the nobility and the regular everyday people? You know what? I shouldn't have said, does anybody want to jump in? Eshubola, what do you think the difference is when we're talking about everyday people and nobility? So what's the difference? All right, so Ndaye, what makes the nobility more important than everybody else? What puts them at a higher rank in society?
The whole, like, sense of nobility is basically surrounded around, well, they're better than the rest of the, they're better than everyone else because they were born into royalty or they were born into a higher class. So I guess that's what sets them apart from commoners.
All right, so they were born into this higher class. So, Ja, the higher class of the nobility, what do they have that the everyday people don't have?
Cool.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
I said I have no clue.
Okay, understood. So I'm going to come back to you guys. So, Kashif, you've given us some comments about the nobility and everyday people in the text chat. So what do you think the nobility has because of their birth status that everyday people don't have?
A higher rank.
So they have a higher rank. So what do you think comes with a higher rank? So what does that mean that they get that everybody else doesn't get?
More power, more respect, sometimes royalty.
Power, respect, royalty. Is there anything else on the list anybody wants to add?
I would say like special privileges.
Okay, they have special privileges. One of the things that I think about when it comes to the nobility and the difference between them and the normal and the everyday people is they have more money, they have more wealth, like they have more stuff than the everyday people. When I picture in my mind those times where there were separations in class between the nobility and others, I see the nobility in like finer clothing, looking cleaner, nicer than the everyday folks. So the nobility, we're talking about a society, they basically have what everybody else wants. So I had you go through those questions so that you have a clear picture in your mind of the nobility versus the everyday people. And that is what's happening on the periodic table. So my question to you, Eshubola, is with these noble gases, what makes them so noble? What do they have that everybody else wants? That question is for Eshubola. They got a lot more electrons. So if you're looking across the group, they've got the most electrons as everybody else. And that's basically what it's tied to. It's not just that they have a lot more electrons. They have exactly the amount that everybody wants. Everybody wants to have a full outer layer of electrons. And the noble gases all have a full outer layer. She talked about it in the video. Like, you know, we usually look at models of atoms with like these circles coming out of away from the nucleus. So if you think about atoms in that way, the very first circle wants two electrons. So if you look at helium, it's got two electrons and it's happy. It's got the most that it can take. It doesn't need anything. It doesn't need anybody. The outer circles, the second and third one, they need eight electrons. So neon and argon right underneath helium, they're happy too because they've got a full outer shell. They've got all the electrons that it can take and they don't need anything or anybody else. All the other elements want those eight electrons. They want to be full on the outside. So they spend their whole lives trying to find ways to get full. And they usually accomplish that by connecting with other elements. So the way that elements connect to each other is very purposeful. You don't just randomly put a hydrogen and an oxygen together just because. They're put together the way that they are so that the hydrogen and the oxygen both have all the electrons that they need. So I'm gonna make you guys stretch a little bit, stretch your minds a little bit. So if you're looking at, let's say, oxygen, because oxygen and hydrogen are something you guys are very familiar with. So say you're looking at oxygen in Dye. How many more electrons does oxygen want in order to be full? You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So how many did I say that the second and third layers of electrons, how many did I say they want to be full?
Eight.
All right, so if you look at O for oxygen, how many more electrons does it need?
Two.
Beautiful. So in order to be happy and full, oxygen needs two more electrons. So, Josh. Yes, go ahead. Yes, and elements usually accomplish this by hooking up with other elements. So they usually get together and share electrons in order to get full. So my next question, any other questions before I ask my next question? Okay, so Ja, if you look at hydrogen, how many electrons does it have? You hear me, Ja?
Hear me?
Yeah. Okay. So hydrogen, the H, how many electrons does it have? How many dots are next to the H?
Oh, I don't think I'm looking at the same thing.
Okay. So is it labeled Lewis structure table?
I see.
Okay. All right. So H, how many dots?
Oh, hydrogen is one.
Perfect. So, Ndiaye told us that oxygen's got six electrons and it needs two more. So, Ja, if hydrogen has one electron, how many hydrogens will we need to put with oxygen so oxygen could be full?
Two, is it?
Two. Okay. So, if we have two hydrogens and one oxygen, oxygen is full. It's got all of its eight electrons. And then hydrogen, because it's in that first row, it only needs two electrons. So if you imagine taking the hydrogen and putting it next to that one of the empty spots in oxygen, it can share that one electron that's by itself in oxygen, and then it shares its electron. So the hydrogen's got two next to it. And if we put two hydrogens, the oxygen has eight. Have you guys ever, not let me say that, Kashif, if we put that together, we write two hydrogens and one oxygen, that would be written H2O. What like everyday normal name do we use for H2O?
Water.
Water. So the structure of water, it being H2O, is not random. If you put hydrogen and oxygen together and it's just hydrogen and oxygen, it's going to make H2O because it's going to automatically gravitate to each other in a way that all the electrons on the outside are going to be full and happy. You with me?
Yes.
All right, so I use that as an example because all of you guys, when you hear H2O, you know that's water. So now you have an understanding of why water is two hydrogens and one oxygen, because it's all for the purpose of being full on the outside. Okay, so in the video, she also mentioned some of the elements that are found in nature. So she talked about oxygen and silicon and aluminum being the things that make up the majority of the Earth's crust. She told us that iron, if you go by percentage, is the most common element if we talk about the entire Earth, like all the way down from the crust down to its core. It's majority iron. Just the crust is majority oxygen, silicon, and aluminum. And then she talked about the human body, and there were four elements that made up 96% of the human body. Now, of course, I didn't ask you guys to like memorize any of this stuff, but before I tell you, does anybody remember any of those four elements that she said make up 96% of the human body? All right, so you guys have already mentioned three of them when we were looking at melanin. One of them is hydrogen, one of them is oxygen, one of them is nitrogen, and the other one is carbon. How many of you guys have listened to a TV show or a book and they talk about human beings as carbon-based life forms? Anybody ever heard that phrase before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so human beings are considered carbon-based life forms, and anything on Earth is considered a carbon-based life form because the majority of everything on Earth is made or based on carbon, and then three other elements in addition to that. So carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen. And if you look at those two melanin structures, that's all that's in them, except for pheomelanin has some sulfur. There's a few S's in there. But the majority of those two compounds are carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. And it's not a coincidence. It's because that's the majority of living things are made up of. Any questions before I move to the next level? Okay, so I want you to go back to the pictures. Let's look at the picture of eumelanin because it's got the simplest structure. So go back. You know what? Let me do this a little differently to make sure that everybody understands. So before you do that, I want you, those four elements that I mentioned, carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, and hydrogen, if you got a piece of paper in front of you, really quickly, I want you to jot down those Lewis structures. So jot down what the hydrogen Lewis structure looks like, carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen. Because when we're looking at eumelanin, I'm going to ask you some specific questions related to those Lewis structures. So write them down so that you can see them so that you don't have to flip back to that periodic table to answer my question. So just take like 60 seconds and do that. And once you have it written down, open up that picture for eumelanin, because we're going to be referring to it directly.
Carbon is CA, right?
Carbon is just C. My apologies.
All Are we supposed to be getting it from the Lewis structure table?
Yes, ma'am. The Lewis structure table. So you'll draw the symbol with the dots around it. Make sure you count those dots carefully.
In the Lewis structure table, the hydrogen is the one all the way on the left?
Yep, top left. Make sure you let me know when you're done, so I can move forward.
Wait, oxygen is 6, right?
Yes, it is.
After that, you want us to go to the eumelanin?
Yes, have that open, the eumelanin picture. Gentlemen, are you guys done?
Yes.
Kashif?
Yes, I've been there.
Eshukbola? All right. So the first thing is we need to think about, before I get into the eumelanin structure, how many electrons each of these elements needs. So Kashif, for carbon, how many more electrons does carbon need to be full?
Can you repeat that one more time?
I sure can. How many more electrons does carbon need in order to be full? Okay, so essence, how many electrons does any element want total in order to be full, except for hydrogen and helium? They're the exception. Okay, so all the other elements besides hydrogen and helium want 8 to be full. So going back to the question that I asked you, Kashif, if all the elements want 8, how many more does carbon need? Kashif? Essence told us that each element needs 8 electrons. So how many does carbon currently have? How many dots did you put around the C?
4.
So if it has 4, how many more does it need to be happy?
4.
So carbon needs 4 more electrons to be happy. Ja told us earlier that hydrogen needs 1 more electron, so we already got that covered. And Dae, how many more electrons does nitrogen need in order to be happy?
3.
Good. And then Eshubola, how many electrons does oxygen need? We talked about that earlier. Perfect. Okay. So I want you to look at the structure of eumelanin. Other than the letters for the elements that are listed, essence, what else do you see in that structure?
I see with the, are you asking like about the lines that are inside of the shapes?
Yeah, the shapes is what I'm asking about.
I see lines inside of them. Does that have anything to do with anything?
It does. It does. So besides the individual letters, the C, the H, the N, the O, you see these shapes, these pentagons and hexagons. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Okay. What you're seeing is another example of how incredibly lazy scientists are. And they're lazy in a good way. Scientists do not like having to repeat things over and over. That's why we use scientific notation. We don't want to write a 20-digit number. We'd rather just write 10 to the 20 power. So because anything living is carbon-based, there is an incredible number of carbons in each compound. Scientists got tired of writing all the carbons. So what you're looking at is the shorthand format. So for the hexagons and the pentagons, every corner that you see, every vertex, is a carbon. So there's no letters there, but wherever you see a corner, the 6 sides of the hexagon, the 4 sides of the pentagon, the one that doesn't have nitrogen on them, all of those are carbons. If you look at the very bottom of the structure, where you have the 2 lines coming out to the left with an O and the 1 line coming down to the bottom with the OH, where those 2 lines meet, that's a carbon. So if you can see, if you put a carbon at every single corner, that'd be a whole, you'd be like 20 more carbons in the compound. And scientists don't like being repetitive, so they find simple manners to do things. So the majority of organic compounds that you see, meaning related to living things, you're going to see these shapes. And these shapes represent all the carbons that scientists don't want to actually write out. It'll be like way, way too many. All right, so now that you're clear about what you're seeing, I want you to look at all of the, we'll start with oxygen. So we'll start with the oxygens, and I want you to look at each oxygen and see how many things are connected to it. So the lines are considered things connected to it. The other elements are considered things connected to it. So really quickly, you don't need to answer out loud or type it in. I just want you to visually look at each oxygen and look at how many things are connected to it. Take like 30 seconds to do that. Okay, so Kashif, when you're looking at the oxygens, how many things are connected to each oxygen?
I say two.
Exactly. So some of the oxygen have 2 lines. Where there's OHs, you have 1 line on the oxygen and then 1 H on it. In the middle of the COOH, on each side, there's something attached to it. So every oxygen has 2 things on it. And refresh our memory, Eshubola, how many electrons does oxygen want? So when you're looking at these structures, it's not randomly thrown together. It's very purposeful. And diate. Look at the nitrogens. There's three of them on this compound. And tell me how many things are touching the nitrogens, each of them.
They all have, well, they're all like in the middle of the pentagon. Is that a pentagon?
Yeah, it's a pentagon.
Okay, yeah, they're all like in the opening of the pentagon, and they have they have like lines in inside of the pentagon. They're all connected to COOHs.
Okay. So, you know, one thing I need to mention, because they didn't show it clearly on this drawing, that H underneath the nitrogen is actually attached to it. There should technically be a little something showing that hydrogen and the nitrogen are connected. So when you look at the nitrogen itself, along with the hydrogen, how many lines are actually touching the nitrogen, like are pointing to the nitrogen? That's for you and I.
Oh, two.
Okay. So if you include the two lines plus the hydrogen, how many things total are touching the nitrogen?
Three.
All right. And Ja, how many electrons does nitrogen want?
Three.
So when you're looking at these structures, I had you do oxygen and nitrogen so that you can see that the structure of these compounds, no matter how huge they get, no matter how many things are in them or how many of those hexagons and pentagons and other shapes that you see, they're bonded purposefully, and they're bonded in order for all of their outer shells to be full. So you can look at, and you guys will be able to tell, like, if things or structures are drawn properly, because you can look, and if you see more than two things on an oxygen, something's got to be wrong, because oxygen's only got two spots where it can connect to someone. Make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So do these really complicated molecules look a little less complicated to you now?
Yeah.
Good. All right. And forgive me if I'm being senile and I just said this, but any questions? A single element or a single atom could not take more electrons than it needed. There are times when, if things are bonded together, so if you have a group of atoms together, that they could technically maybe have one more electron than all of them need, but it's very, very rare. The majority of the time, they only have the number of electrons that can fit around each of the atoms. And when we get heavy into the chemistry, we'll talk about, you know, what happens when you change the number of electrons that something has. And we'll talk about it a little bit, actually later this week, because there is expressed to be a connection between melanin and cocaine. And I think one of you guys actually mentioned it when we had a conversation, our very first conversation about melanin. And we're going to look at that critically. So rather than just take it at face value, you guys are going to look at those two structures and have some conversation about it. And there's two different forms of cocaine that are used, and we'll have a conversation about chemically the difference between them. And we'll bring up those extra electrons in that conversation. Any other questions? Beautiful, beautiful. All right, so quick 2-minute exercise. I want you to, just to make sure I was telling you the truth, I want you to look at that Lewis structure periodic table and find S, which is sulfur. And I want you to look at the Lewis structure and then go to that image of pheomelanin, because it has some S's on it, and look at if the structure is appropriate for the Lewis structure. So see how many electrons it needs, and check the Ashrawil Kashif, and check the pheomelanin structure to see if the two match up. So the number of electrons that sulfur needs with the number of things that sulfur is attached to on that pheomelanin. All right. So does everybody have paper to write on in front of them?
Yes.
I guess the question would be, is does anybody not have paper in front of you? All right, so Eshubola, I'll give you directions specifically in a second. All right, so I want you to go back to the Wikispace page, and on today's agenda, under the assignments, I've listed a quick Lua structure practice. So I put the name of the symbols for seven elements down, and I want you, on the paper in front of you, to draw the Lua structure for each element and then indicate, write down how many electrons that element needs to be full. So go back to the Wikispace page and tell me if you can see the task there. All right, so I want everybody to take 2 minutes now. There's seven of them. Let's take five. Draw the Lua structures and write how many electrons it needs to be full. And then look at the text chat, Eshubola. Yes, sir.
This is not part of the assignment, but there are 8 units under the zero column in the Lewis structure table, and only 2 electrons. So how? Why do I need it?
Sure. There are like multiple energy levels that electrons can be in. And the very first one closest to the nucleus only needs 2 electrons. So that first row, hydrogen and helium only has 2 electrons because that's all that can fit in the first energy level. And hydrogen has 1 electron and only needs 1 more to be full.
Okay.
All the elements after helium need 8.
User disconnected from your channel.
Anybody need more than 1 minute?
User in your channel is recording.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said after yes. Okay, in about 1 minute, I'm going to check in with you guys and ask some questions about those seven elements. Okay, Ja, how many electrons are on the Lewis structure for Be, which is a beryllium, and how many electrons does it need to be full?
It has two, and I believe it needs two more to be full.
All right, does everybody agree? So your silence means I'm going to take, means everybody agrees. All right. Where are we? Kashif, other than hydrogen and helium, how many electrons does every element need to be full? Sorry, sweetie, I couldn't hear you. You said six? Okay, so in Daya, do you agree that they all need six?
I thought they all needed eight.
So you think they all need eight? All right, so if they need eight Eshugbola, how many more electrons does NE or neon need? Perfect, zero, because it has eight. It has a full, completely full outer shell. I have a good question for you, Essence. So sodium, it's going to be a two-part question. How many electrons does sodium have? I'm sorry, Na. Na is sodium. Essence.
I'm sorry, I'm here. I'm just looking for it. It's so small on my screen.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, yeah, it has one.
All right.
So it needs one more.
Only hydrogen and helium need two. All other elements need eight.
Okay, so it needs six. It needs seven.
So the special question I have for you is, what would be easier for sodium? Would it be easier to get seven electrons to get full, or would it be easier to get rid of the one electron that it has?
It would be easier to get rid of the one electron, right?
Right. That would be less work. So when electrons are in an atom, it's kind of like filling up a glass of water. Like when you pour water in a glass, before you can get water up at the top of your glass, the bottom has to get full, right? Electrons work the same way. The inside has to get full before the next ones do. So all the elements, their outer shell, even if it's not full, the next layer down is full. So some elements, rather than adding on electrons to get full, will actually let go of their electrons because it's less work. it's kind of thinking about, like, would you rather move one brick or seven bricks? Like, the atoms think the same way if they had a mind to think. And they do what requires the least amount of work. So if an element's got one electron, it's actually probably going to kick off that one rather than do the work of taking on seven. And I'm just mentioning that because the next class period, when we're talking about the two different forms of cocaine, like, we're going to bring that in, that whole concept of giving up versus taking electrons. Okay, one more of the Lewis structures. I don't know if I asked you. Did I just ask you a question, Eshugbola? I don't think so. Yes, I did, because you gave me the neon. I've asked everybody. So let me go back to Ja. How many valence electrons does phosphorus have? The P?
Excuse me?
The element phosphorus that has the symbol P, how many electrons does it have?
Five.
So Kashif, how many electrons does it need? Good, good. You guys get the gist of it. All right, so I'm not going to have you practice anymore. We're going to talk about what we're doing in the next class period, and then you're grading your quizzes. So if you were to refresh the WikiSpace page, you'll see that there is a homework assignment listed. So for homework, you guys are going to look up the structure of chlorophyll and the structure of cocaine. And you're going to compare those two structures to the two melanins you looked at today. So in your response, when you give me the similarities and differences, I want you to put the picture of each structure. So cut and paste a picture of chlorophyll, cocaine, and melanin, so that when I'm reading your description, I'm looking at the structures in front of me, and you're going to tell me what's similar about the structures of chlorophyll and cocaine in comparison to melanin. So what things do you see that they have in common? What things do you see that are different? Any questions about what you're going to turn in on by Thursday? In terms of how I'll take it, it's just the same as before. Those people who aren't comfortable posting their assignment on the WikiSpace, just email it to me. Any questions?
No.
Okay. In terms of your, not just your quiz, but your past assignments, the quiz, because I figured out what was wrong. So the quiz will be available on the class marker page, and it'll also be, I will also update the end grade gradebooks finally, because I haven't been inputting it. Now, I apologize for that. Though I would love to be the absolute perfect teacher, sometimes juggling at teaching at the three schools that I teach at, you know, things aren't always 100% exactly like I want them to be. But I'm going to update all of the things that you guys have given me, and it'll be on the end grade page. And I'll shoot you all an email to let you know this afternoon when I'm done and when you can check and look at it. Ja, and then I'll have to call Allie directly since she couldn't get online today. I'm going to give you guys a specific message. Like, I'll show you. You can look on the gradebook to see what's missing, and then I'll tell you, like, where on the WikiSpace you can find that work so that you can make up any assignments that are hurting your grade that you couldn't get to when you couldn't get online. So in terms of your assignments, in terms of grades, anything, you know, class business related like that, does anybody have any questions or concerns?
I was just gonna ask real quick. If we email our homework to you, would that, like, make a difference, or is that okay?
Email is fine. So email or on the wiki page, is either one is acceptable to me. Any other questions? Cool, we finished exactly when I wanted to. All right, so we'll get into our appreciations, what we're thankful for this class period, and then you guys will be free for lunch.
Can I go first?
You sure can.
I appreciate the Black Body Biochemistry class, and I appreciate you, Mama Fanta, because you're helping our students understand their body. And on my end as a doctor, a lot of people don't know there's a difference. And so I appreciate what you're doing to help the students understand that they're different and in a better way. And I appreciate Aya, and I appreciate Baba Okessa and Mama Fia. Thank you.
Thank you. And instead of going first, I'm going to go last today. So, Kashif, what you are thankful for, sir?
I'm thankful for becoming a IA Institute student, because none of the stuff that we're doing at IA I did in public schools, so this is all new to me, and I think it's great because it extends my knowledge of a Black African, and I like it.
All right, Essence.
I appreciate you being willing to take the time to go over things with us until we really understand them, so that we can feel more comfortable with like test taking and stuff, and just knowing the information and understanding what you're talking about when you teach.
Oh, thank you. And I
appreciate learning about these elements today, because I've never really like looked into the different elements in the periodic table and how many electrons they have. So, yeah, I appreciate this.
Cool. Ja?
I second what Essence said. I appreciate how thorough you are in your teaching.
Cool. Thank you. Eshubola?
Mama Fanta?
Yes, ma'am.
One more thing. I have my friend here, Minister Inki. He is a Black biochemist, and he was listening on the class, and he just wants to say something to you real quick.
Sure.
Oh, I just wanted to say the class was awesome. I'm just blown away from the level of science that you guys have given to the baby. So I just want to get involved as soon as possible. But I just want to say I listened in to the class and it was bananas. So I thought it was awesome. I just wanted to tell you that.
Ah, thank you. That's good to hear from someone else who actually knows the science. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, so my appreciation, again, is for the opportunity to teach this class. Like, you know, this is my 12th year being a classroom teacher, and it could get really frustrating sometimes being in the public school system and having to teach chemistry and biology and those other classes according to their pacing guide and having to cover these specific topics before it was time for testing and things of that nature. And this is my first opportunity to really teach science in a context that I feel is relevant and useful. So rather than just teaching you guys the periodic table and, you know, why elements interact, it's being done in a context of something that I feel is important and can help my knowledge base grow, help you grow and understand yourselves and your connection to science and your connection to the rest of the world better. So I just appreciate being able to teach the way that I've always believed science should be taught. So I appreciate having this forum to do so. And if there are no other questions or concerns or comments, I will talk to see you on Thursday.
All right.
All right, peace.
User in your channel stopped recording. User in your channel stopped recording.